It's the Scotty Myers Show.
Hey there, how's it going this week? Thanks so much for joining me on this week's edition of the show. Of course, I'm your host, Scotty Myers, and this week, a little bit different. Now, if you listen to the show every week, you know, at the end, we do the geek news, right? Cram in all the cool geeky stuff that went down over the last week. Well, there was a lot this week, and so this edition of the show, all geek news all the time. That's right, we are blowing nerdgasms all over the place as we're going to break down some of the latest Marvel news, some Star Wars news, including an unexpected return to the series that I'm actually pretty excited about, and also a bunch of DC news as well. And there are going to be some spoilery type stuff in here. I'll warn you ahead of time. But, you know, if you hear the spoiler warning and you don't want to hear about it, either just, you know, fast forward a little bit or just hit pause until you can catch up with us. So all geek news this week on the Scotty Myers Show. And we shall start with Marvel and WandaVision, which is wrapping up its first season. And if you listen to the show, you know I've been kind of harsh on WandaVision. Not that I don't think it's good, it's just not grabbing me. Like, I watch the show, I don't necessarily not enjoy the half hour that I watch, but it's also, I'm not that invested, you know? But I will say, the last episode that they did, much better. I really thought that was the standout episode so far of the series. I think they could have got there earlier. Again, this has been one of my gripes with the show, is that the story's been so stretched out that up till now, not knowing what's coming, I feel like WandaVision could have been a Disney Plus movie, and they could have cut a lot of shit out of it, and it would have been, I think, tighter and better, and maybe more interesting. I know some people don't share that opinion, but if I'm going to break down the last episode a little bit and talk about why I actually think it was the best one so far, we're going to have to get into spoiler territory. So, spoilers in 3, 2, 1. So, part of the reason why the last episode, I think, was one of the better ones so far, was just we finally got the villain. And I know they did a really cool montage of going, it was Agnes all along. And Agnes is the villain, becoming Agatha Hargrove. But, you know, they didn't really drop those hints early enough. I know they kind of cut a montage going, look, you missed this. But really, we didn't, because they didn't show us some of what they showed us in that montage. So it wasn't fair to point it out going like, you guys missed this, when we didn't see all that. But finally we got a villain, and I don't think we're done with the villain reveals. I think that she is just the tip of the iceberg. But I did enjoy the song. I think most people enjoyed the It Was Agatha All Along song. And I just like the fact that now we know what's happening. And I think that was big, because they had kind of teased back and forth a little bit that, you know, maybe Wanda was going to be the villain of the season. And the only reason why that bothered me is that we've had so much Avengers on Avengers and Avengers fighting each other, which basically is what would have had to have happened. Somebody would have had to have come in and stopped Wanda, and we would have had more of the same. So the fact that we actually have villains now makes me very, very happy. And we also got a glimpse at a new hero. I don't know which name they're going to give her, but Monica Rambeau started to develop powers. Now, if you follow Monica in the comics, she's gone by a few different names. And it's possible that they could go with any one of them, really. You know, she has been known as Captain Marvel. That one they're not going to go with. But Photon, Pulsar, Daystar, Spectre, Sun Goddess, Spectrum. There's been a lot of names for Monica Rambeau. So we'll have to see which one they give her in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But nice to see her character starting to flesh out a bit more as well. So all in all, a very positive episode of WandaVision. And moving on to more Marvel news, we finally got the official title for Spider-Man 3. It is going to be Spider-Man No Way Home. So continues the home theme of you know, that they've done with all the titles. And I'm still hoping that this means No Way Home, because there's no way home out of the multiverse, right? We've had those rumors that Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, they're coming back. Other people are coming back from the previous Spider-Man movies, and that we're going to get the basically Spider-Verse. And I'm cool with that. But Tom Holland said today that Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, not in the movie. And he has said this before, so he's kind of doubling down on this. And I mean, for him, I hope he's right. That would not be how I would hope that the third movie turns out. I'm hoping that we get this Into the Spider-Verse live action. But if those guys are in the movie, you know, and Tom Holland's just trying to save the surprise is pretty much already out there. Just say no comment, or say, you know, hey, I didn't see them. You know, my Spidey suit was always clean. Come up with some sort of clever way to say that you don't know, or that you know, but with a wink and a nod. Just flat out going, they're not in it. It's not cool, because it's either A, you're flat out lying to us, or B, you're crushing some excitement for the movie. So even if they're not in the movie, play up to the fucking hype. The hype is that we're getting Spider-Verse. So don't shoot that down. You know, I would be playing right into that shit. So hopefully somebody at Sony or Marvel grabs him and just says, hey, listen, Tom, we get it, man. You know, you're trying to push the attention away from these guys returning, but you're also kind of killing some of the buzz for this movie, man. You know, just simmer it down. And say, you know, I don't know, J. Jonah Jameson didn't want more Spider-Men, so I don't know, he's been adamant against it. Whatever it is, just come up with a cute way to say, I don't know, or no comment. Because it'd be very disappointing if they weren't, based on all the rumors that have floated online. Sticking with Marvel, of course, they're gearing up to make their Blade TV show, and word is that it will not be rated R. Apparently, the only Marvel property that will have an R rating that's planned right now is Deadpool 3. Nothing else is going to have an R rating. And I get that for most of their characters. And again, the R rating definitely fits for Deadpool. But it also really fits for Blade. And it's not like Blade is a new character that we don't have anything else to compare it to. We do. There's a Blade trilogy that overall pretty good. Even the shittiest entry in that, the third one, is still a very watchable movie and at times enjoyable. Sometimes not so much, but you know, the first Blade, the second Blade, solid, solid movies from start to finish. And the third one, average, right? But they're three really good entries with Blade in an R-rated environment. So if you water down Blade too much, I mean, he's a fucking vampire hunter. Okay, like, you know, and not sparkly Twilight vampires, like hardcore vampires. And he's half vampire. Blade fits R-rated. And I think it's a mistake for Marvel to shift him to a PG or PG-13 world. I think Blade works best rated R. And I'm just not sure that this is going to work. Even some of their characters like Moon Knight definitely could work in an R-rated environment. I get it if they're not going to make him R-rated. You could kind of live in both worlds. But Blade, in my opinion, that's got to be rated R. I get why they don't want to, because they want Blade to be, you know, kind of able to cross platforms, maybe show up in movies and whatnot, have a little bit more character freedom than you kind of have with Deadpool, because people are so used to him being R-rated. And you know, even some parents, if they saw Deadpool showing up in an Avengers movie, they might think, well, I can't take my kids to that one because Deadpool swears, even if he didn't in that film. But Blade, yeah, I don't know how you market Blade to kids, and I don't know how you satisfy adults with a watered-down Blade, especially when we can compare it to the Wesley Snipes ones that were so fucking good. They hold up even today. Like, you can go back, they are highly rewatchable. And if you haven't watched them in a while, go do so. Like I say, even the third one has its moments of, like, cringe, but kind of enjoyable overall. You give me a vampire dog, I'm there. Okay. And sticking with Marvel, one last little note that we got. We found out when Loki is going to premiere on Disney Plus, and that will come June 11th. Probably, for me anyway, my most anticipated Marvel show that's coming this year. Really looking forward to Loki. Just Tom Hiddleston's so good in the role. So June 11th is when we will get Loki on Disney Plus. Sticking with Disney Plus premieres, but switching gears to the Star Wars universe, the animated show The Bad Batch, which kind of picks up from Clone Wars, will premiere May 4th. Perfect day for that to premiere. We're going to get The Bad Batch premiering on May 4th, and then the second episode will drop on May 7th, which is a Friday, and then just like The Mandalorian, we're going to get episodes of The New Batch every Friday. So they're going to treat us to something on Star Wars Day and then get on to their May 4th or May Friday release schedule following that, which is really cool. And I'm looking forward to The Bad Batch. They were a neat group of characters and somewhat came from the mind of George Lucas. He said he wanted some clones that were messed up, that weren't the perfect clones, but had different abilities and wanted something to highlight them. He didn't want them to have superpowers, but different abilities. And that's exactly what The Bad Batch is. So really cool to see this coming to fruition and that they're still listening to George. And speaking of George, when I said that earlier that there was a return to the Star Wars world that seemed a little unexpected, there's rumors out there that George Lucas has returned to the Star Wars world, not in an advisor category. We kind of always knew that he was hanging back there, maybe every now and then throwing his thoughts in, but that he's a writer on the new Rogue One spinoff show, Andor, which is kind of cool. You've got the founder coming back. You know, Lucas has had this kind of interesting relationship, especially over the last little while. Obviously, he creates Star Wars. He loves it. Does the prequel trilogy. People shit all over it. So he got upset. And that's what kind of led to him walking away from it. But it looks like, if you go with the information posted on IMDb, that George Lucas is writing at least two episodes of the upcoming Disney Plus series. And the series, of course, set to follow Diego Luna's Cassian Andor. And that's going to take place about 5 years before the events of Rogue One. So, we're going to get to see him doing some spy stuff, that kind of thing. Really, really cool. And nice to see George Lucas back involved with this. And especially in that time frame for Star Wars. Because if anybody knows how they wanted the story told before we met, you know, Luke and Han and Leia in episode 4 in that kind of time of the Empire, than George does. So, you know, I'm excited that maybe he wrote a couple episodes, as long as somebody helps him a little bit with dialogue. Never George's strong suit, writing dialogue. I was rewatching the prequels not too long ago, and I enjoy the prequels, but there are some scenes where the dialogue is kind of cringeworthy. Not going to lie. Switching over to DC, we got some really cool DC news. We're going to start with Blue Beetle. The movie that they announced was going to happen a while ago finally seems to be moving forward. It took them forever to get this going, but finally seems like it's happening. Angel Manuel Soto is going to be the director, and the movie, of course, will feature or focus on, I should say, the Blue Beetle, Jaime Reyes, not Ted Kord, which is cool. Jaime Reyes, kind of a cool, teenage kid, gets the scarab, has powers. Definitely a different take on Blue Beetle than Ted Kord, but both Blue Beetles, Ted and Jaime, and Ted shows up in the comic book series as a mentor to the younger Blue Beetle. So we could still see him in this film, almost Ant-Man-like with what they did over there in the MCU. And of course, both of them have lots of connections with Booster Gold. So in my mind, you can't do a Blue Beetle movie in any way, shape, or form without a little bit of Booster Gold in there, which really opens the door to a lot of time travel. But just to see Booster on the big screen with Blue Beetle, is going to be a blast. This is exciting. It's kind of one of those DC characters that doesn't get the full attention that they deserve. So the fact that they're going to get a nice live action movie, you know, is great. I'm going to shove Blue Beetle into the spotlight, which is awesome. No word yet on a release date for that one, though. And we know the Flash movie is speeding forward, and all the rumors going around with that, that, you know, Michael Keaton's coming back as Batman, Ben Affleck's coming back as Batman, who else is going to be returning? We now know that Supergirl is going to be part of the movie, and they have cast her, Sasha Calle, or Call. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce her last name. She has been cast as Supergirl in the upcoming Flash movie. Now, not sure if she is going to be the Supergirl from the empty pod in Man of Steel, or if she'll be the Supergirl of another Earth, because we know the Flash movie is definitely dealing with the multiverse. That's why we're going to have multiple Batmen. Who knows what other characters are going to show up. And very exciting to see Supergirl arrive on the big screen. It's going to be nice to see her part of this DC film world, whatever they're creating now. You don't want to call it the DCEU anymore, I don't think. But this Flash movie is big, really, really big in scope. So really looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a big turning point for the DC cinematic world. I don't know that they're going to flat out do Flashpoint, but there's definitely going to be some changes post Flash movie, which are exciting to take a look at. If we move over to the Snyderverse and Zack Snyder's Justice League, which is less than a month away from hitting HBO Max and streaming services all around the world, we have kind of gotten this report out there that there's a superhero cameo at the end of the film that is going to drive hardcore fans crazy. Says they're going to blow their minds. And so now, of course, people are speculating on who it could be. Now, some stories out there have said, hey, we know who it is, and we're going to drop it on you right now. And I'm going to tell you who these stories say it is. So a potential spoiler in 3, 2, 1. These stories say it's Martian Manhunter. Now, in my mind, that is not mind-blowing because we know he's in the movie. You know, Henry Lennox, who plays him, has said he is. There's comic book covers that show Martian Manhunter. You know, we kind of know he's in the movie. It's going to be awesome to see him in the movie. And maybe the cameo at the end of the film is Martian Manhunter kind of unveiled. Maybe that's the first time we see him in his Martian form. But that's still, to me, not mind-blowing because he's in the movie. We know he's fucking there. To me, mind-blowing has to be somebody that we don't expect or don't know is there. Like, if nobody had said that Jared Leto's Joker was returning and he showed up, that's mind-blowing. You know, if Joker's there, it would make sense maybe Harley's there. If Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn shows up at the end of that movie, that's mind-blowing. But he also said it was for hardcore fans. So, you know, Harley's pretty mainstream. So in my head, again, I'm going to throw it out there. Booster Gold. Potential. Especially if the end of the film is the nightmare sequence. And maybe Booster is there to be like, this timeline is fucked up. We got to get you out of here. That works really, really well. Red Hood would work really, really well. We know there's a Robin that was killed by Joker in the comics. That Robin becomes Red Hood. So that could work. Now, the only issue I have with that is that Zack Snyder has confirmed in his Snyderverse that that was Dick Grayson. And it's one of the few things that drives me crazy about Zack Snyder's vision for his film universe was that the Robin that was killed was Dick Grayson. Because if you kill Dick Grayson, there's no Nightwing, which to me is a giant, giant mistake. So, and again, nothing, he has said that in interviews, but there's nothing on film that has committed to that. So you could easily make it Jason Todd, and Red Hood could show up at the end of the movie. He would fit really well in the nightmare world, that nightmare sequence where, you know, Superman has gone nuts and Batman is running around with guns and talking to the Joker and all that kind of stuff. Red Hood would fit really well there. And if you wanted to use this movie as a springboard into the Flash film and into the multiverses, how mind-blowing would it be to have Ben Affleck's Batman at the end of Zack Snyder's Justice League face-to-face with his father as Flashpoint Batman and Thomas Wayne is still alive? You want to blow people's minds and end on a what the fuck just happened? That's how you do it. And we know Jeffrey Dean Morgan has said he would love to play, you know, Batman, the Thomas Wayne version of Batman, and do that whole Flashpoint thing. I think it's possible. You know, if it is Martian Manhunter, it's going to be cool, but I'm going to feel a little let down. I would rather it be any of the people that I mentioned or somebody that I didn't mention. You know, maybe it's Nightwing. Like, that would be cool. That would blow my mind, too. Love Nightwing. So if there's a character out there that you would like to see show up at the end of Zack Snyder's Justice League and be this mind-blowing cameo, who could it be? Who would you like it to be? Green Lantern would be another good one. I could drop a ton of names. Let me know who you're thinking. Scotty Mars Show on Facebook and Instagram, at Scotty Mars on Twitter. And the last thing for the week, we got a brand new superhero show. Superman and Lois debuted on the CW, and HBO Max is kind of helping them out with this. So it actually, production value-wise, a little bit higher than some of the other CW DC shows. And that's saying something, because some of them have done exceptionally well, look really good. This one really had a cinematic feel to it, though. The first episode, really well done. As far as the Superman that we get in this one, little bit of Christopher Reeves, little bit of Henry Cavill's. It's almost like a little bit of a blend between the two takes on the Man of Steel. But they're doing something totally different with him in this show. And that is, he's married to Lois, and he's got a couple of kids. And so it's, how does Superman, you know, save the world and at the same time be a father and be a husband? It's an interesting take, and it really allows the writers to display the humanity of Superman more, the kind of the Clark Kent side, the humanity more, which some people, you know, say when they read the comics and stuff like that is missing because he's just a giant invincible alien. And it's like, no, there's real humanity to the character, and having him be a father and trying to, you know, tap into that while still being the man that protects the planet is an interesting juxtaposition. I will say the cast did a great job in the first episode, and people dug it. People tuned in for it because it had the highest ratings for the CW in that time slot in 2 years. So it did very, very well. And I will say, too, if you're a fan of, you know, Superman and DC Comics and the history of the character in live action, there's lots of cool Easter eggs throughout the first episode. There was kind of a to-do list board in Clark and Lois's home that had, like, you know, Dr. Reeves and all this kind of dropping names there. And it opened with a nod to the cover of Action Comics number one, where, you know, Superman was basically in that very old costume, the Fleischman costume, stopping a green car that looked very similar to the green car, the cover of Action number one. As a giant comic book nerd and DC fan, those little Easter eggs throughout the episode just put a big old smile on my face. And I really like where this series is going. Hopefully it can keep up the quality that it laid down with that first episode, because it set the bar pretty high for where this series has to go. But if you haven't checked it out yet, I highly recommend you do so. It is definitely worth watching. A great take on the Man of Steel. It's nice to see this different version of him. We've got Cavill's Superman, which is still kind of learning his place in his world. And then we've got this Superman that's well established, but trying to learn how to balance life. Really cool different stuff that they're doing with the Man of Steel right now in live action. So I told you, we were jam-packed with geek news this week. Told you, it was overflowing. Cover your eyes. Nerdgasms everywhere. Any thoughts on any of these stories? Of course, you can always reach me on social media at The Scotty Mars Show on Instagram and Facebook. at Scotty Myers on Twitter. And of course, if you need to send me an email, just head on over to ScottyMyersMedia.com and you can reach me there. And until we chat again, have a great week.